Well, brothers and sisters, friends, these are anxious times, particularly with the country slowly starting to open up. Perhaps you feel an anxiety about possibly catching the COVID virus, or someone you love coming down with it. Just as seriously, I know that many of us will be worried about the economy. Perhaps your job or your livelihood will be under threat. We've all been cut off from the people and the places that normally give us a sense of security, the things that help us hold fast in difficult times. Many of us are separated from our families. Normal routines have been disrupted. Even the worship of the church has been restricted. And so many times over these last few months, I've heard people say, it all seems so uncertain that nobody really knows how this is all going to end, where it's all going to lead. Just everything seems so uncertain. So our passage this morning in Romans is exactly what we need to hear. It tells us the good news that a believer is completely secure in Jesus Christ. A Christian believer is completely secure in Jesus Christ. Anyone, for anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, salvation and the future are safe and secure in Christ. If you know Christ, your future and destiny is secure in His hands. And that is the great theme of Romans from this point on, beginning really here in chapter 5 and all the way through to chapter 8, that a Christian is truly safe in Christ's keeping. That the gospel really does save us. It saves us from beginning to end by God's grace. And in the gospel, we're secure no matter what comes our way. In verse 1, Paul reminds us of the powerful, the precious truth of justification. That's been the main topic of the letter up to this point. The good news that when you receive Jesus Christ from the heart, have faith in Him, God forgives all your sins and He counts you, He looks on you as righteous in His eyes. And therefore blesses you with eternal life with Him. But now having taught us and established that truth, now Paul is going to apply it to us. He's going to show the church in Rome, and us, how this gift of justification should change and affect our daily lives. The truths and the doctrines of the gospel, they're not just empty words to store away in your head. They're not just theories that theologians argue over. These wonderful truths, like justification, are for life. They're to give us real practical help as we go through the ups and downs of life in this world. And specifically, justification gives us real security. Our relationship with God is secure because we are justified. And that is the great theme of these verses and these next few chapters. And so if you look with me today, particularly at the first 5 verses, a helpful way to understand them is to see that they are speaking about a Christian's past, present, and future. That no matter our past, no matter how difficult the present, no matter what may come in the future, a Christian's salvation is totally secure. A Christian's past is forgiven. We have a new position in Christ. A Christian's present has a purpose. There is a purpose in our suffering. And a Christian's future is secure. We are confident of glory. So if you look with me first at verses 1 and 2, a Christian is secure in the Lord Jesus because their past is forgiven. And they have a new position, a solid relationship with God. And Paul's summing up everything we've been hearing in the first four chapters. Justified by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus, we are forgiven. We have peace with God. Peace in the sense the war is over. God is no longer an enemy, no longer a judge sitting in condemnation over us. The wrath of God against our sin is gone. And so we have access into this grace in which we stand, verse 2. Grace here meaning favor. We are no longer strangers to God, but we're in his favor. He looks on us. In his eyes, we are warmly accepted. He's not glaring at us with disapproval. He's looking on us with the gentle pride and love and warmth of an affectionate father. And access means that a Christian, you have the right to draw near to God, to speak to him as to a friend, as the scriptures say Moses did. Like the way that a member of your family has a right into your house, but a stranger does not. So you have access to God. And it says a Christian stands in this new position, meaning they're fixed in it. It's secure. Not passing through it, not heading for it, not perched precariously, but stood firmly in this grace and favor. I think of how often on Facebook, you know, some folks change their relationship status one day to the next. You never know what's going on. But with God, this relationship of grace is fixed, because we're justified freely by grace. So this glorious truth, justification, because it's by grace, it is permanent and secure. That is the point Paul wants us to see here. The past is gone, Christian. You are a new creation. You are a child of God. Try to, if you can, if it helps, put yourself in the shoes of these early Christians in Rome that Paul is writing to. Many of them would be haunted by their pasts when they would gather to worship as the church. They'd spent their lives worshipping idols, dumb rocks and stones, cruel and capricious gods. If they'd been a typical pagan, they'd have indulged frequently in drunkenness, greed, all kinds of sexual immorality, violence. They'd have lived by the Roman values of might makes right and the pursuit of honor and status above everything else. Now they've begun a new life as a Christian. No doubt that many of them would have felt deeply unworthy, haunted by their past. Am I really accepted? Does God really love me? Am I really right with God? And so this word, whether for anyone haunted by their past, the Romans or you, it's telling us that in Christ that past is gone. You stand at peace with God. The devil loves to cast Christians down. He loves to challenge you in your conscience. Think about all your sins. How could you be a child of God? How could you be an inheritor of the glories of heaven? Your own conscience can condemn you and haunted by it. But God in justification says that the past is gone. Through Jesus Christ, you are my child. And nothing is going to change that. Now this precious truth, this is really the bedrock for living the Christian life, the solid ground you need to know this identity and relationship we have. This is what sets you free to be a joyful and happy Christian. Joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. God wants his children to be joyful. He wants us to know that, he wants us to be confident. When I'm even sometimes telling my children off, I hate it if they are fearful to come and approach me, or if they're cringing because they think I might raise my voice at them. And in the same way, God does not want his children to be standing off or hiding in the shadows. He wants us to be confident, to come and know his love for us. And justification, this free gift of forgiveness, is what gives it to us. God says, you are my child. This is what he's been saying to us all the way through chapter 4. Think back about what we've heard about Abraham and the family of faith, that all who believe belong to that family and inherit the promises. Justification means you are part of God's family, and it will not be undone. I've been reading a wonderful book called Adoption for Life by an American Christian called Russell Moore. He and his wife adopted two orphaned Russian boys. And the book is really making the case that all Christians should seriously consider adopting as part of our calling. But in the book, Moore writes about how when they brought the boys home, there were many times when people found out they were adopted, that the next question is they would say to him, "But do you have any children of your own?" And Moore would reply, "Yes, I have two boys." "Yes, yes, I know what you mean," they would say, but do you have any that are really yours?" "Yes," he replied, "I've got two boys and they are really mine." And he writes about, he'd get annoyed with folks who would somehow think that because they were adopted, they weren't really his children. And his answer every time is, "Yes, they really are my sons." That's what God is saying here to you, Christian. A Christian really is a child of God, and so loved, and you have that status and position, and the past is gone. He's your loving Heavenly Father. This is the security justification gives us. But then, secondly, if you look with me at verses 3 and 4, the reassurance a Christian has that our suffering has a purpose. Our present trials have a purpose. In this world, we have tribulations. Tribulations, Paul says. And tribulations, that's an evocative word. It makes me picture a small sailing boat tossed up and down in a dangerous storm, lifted up and down by the waves and driven by the winds. Just as in life, events and troubles come upon us unexpectedly. We can feel that we're being blown about by events we've got no control over. We're lifted up one moment, brought down the next. And there's little that we can do but ride them out. Or it makes me think of a tornado that's hit a home, the wreckage and the carnage of everything scattered and broken, and as evil things can hit us. Diagnosis of cancer, the car accident, the job loss, the divorce, the bereavement, and suffering that leaves us feeling devastated and alone. That's the kind of thing that tribulations are. And it is the clear teaching of the scriptures that faith does not give you immunity from life's tribulations. A Christian will experience them just like everybody else. In fact, a Christian should expect more troubles than an unbeliever. It is not easy to follow Christ. We have his laws to obey, his ways to follow. We must sometimes sacrifice our own needs and comforts to do his will. We may suffer persecution and hostility. And as Paul says elsewhere in Acts, it's only through many tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. But the difference is the security we have in Christ. That this suffering is not in vain. It's not random. It's not an accident. It's not meaningless. And it will not destroy or defeat us. It has a purpose. And we will come through it. That's what this scripture is saying to us. That the Lord will use our tribulations to transform us. To make us Christ-like. Tribulation produces perseverance. It creates in us strength to endure. Strength to carry heavy burdens. Perseverance creates character in a believer. Now specifically, it means Christ-like character. Holiness, godliness, love, humility. The Lord uses suffering to mold us so that from the heart we are more like Him. Character produces hope. Now hope here, it really means confidence, certainty. Not hope in the sense of wishful thinking. I hope this comes true. No, no, it means hope in the sense of sure hope, confidence. Trials give a Christian a stronger, bolder faith, a confidence and assurance. We know that God our Father is disciplining us for our good. It is, as we saw last week, God's way of working, His life out of death way of working. God's way is not to avoid death, but to bring us through it. Not to take away our suffering, but to redeem it. We're not to flee tribulations. We're not to try to avoid them and run away from them. We're not to try to anesthetize ourselves with the pleasures of the world so that we're numb to them, drowning our sorrows in worldly pleasures. No, God brings us through our afflictions so that we trust Him and walk with Him through them. When a marble lump was first cut out of the hillsides of Italy, dragged miles by strong horses and large chunks blasted off, and then it endured hours of being chipped away at month after month, it was to transform its shapeless mass into the beauty and glory of Michelangelo's David. Christian, God may blast you, knock bits off you, but it is for the glorious purpose of making you beautiful. God's way of adding Christ's likeness to you is to take things away from you. In hurting you, He is healing you. But don't miss this final word in the chain, hope, confidence. Because the most important point Paul is making is that even in suffering, your salvation is secure. Your suffering will not overwhelm you. It will not pull you away and defeat you. No evil or affliction in this world, no death, no cross can separate you from the love of God in Christ. You are in fact following in His footsteps, and God will preserve you and bring you through it. The evangelist Billy Graham once told the story of a friend who during the Great Depression of the 30s lost everything. His job, home, struggling to survive. And then he was walking along the street one day looking for work, and he saw a stonemason cutting a large stone just there on the sidewalk, on the pavement. And he asked him, what are you doing? And the stonemason pointed to the tall spire of a church that was being built. And he said, I'm cutting it down here so that it will fit up there. And this friend of Billy Graham said, that felt like a word from God. I'm being cut down here so that I'll fit up there. God may cut us down here, but it's to prepare us for the glory to come. And Christian, because of Christ, you are secure with God. Even in the midst of fiery suffering, He will hold you. He's your Father. Nothing will change that. And He's working out His good purpose. And He's going to bring you through this. So trust Him. Trust Him and rejoice in this security. Your present trials have a purpose. And then the final thought is a Christian's future is secure. We have a new hope. Even as it says in verse 2, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice confidently in the glory of God. It's telling you, Christian, that your future in Christ is glory. It's glory, salvation, and eternal life in the kingdom of God. And the word that characterizes the age to come, life to come, is glory. You can be absolutely certain as a believer. You will not be lost. You cannot be snatched from Christ's hand. And this is your future, glory. A Christian will see the glory of God. As the Lord himself prayed, as recorded in John 17, his wish is that his disciples would be with him where he would be and see his glory. When a believer dies, we enter his presence, and gazing on the face of Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God. We ourselves will become glorious. Hard to believe sometimes when you're looking in the mirror and there's that few more wrinkles and there's weariness when you stop at the end of the day, but you will be made glorious, immortal, sinless, to live with God, purified of all sin and with a resurrected body and soul made glorious, will shine with the beauty of Christ. And the world too. The creation will enter a new state of glory, set free from its current bondage to decay when Christ returns. No more tears, no more death, no more suffering, all things made new. Doesn't it quicken you and thrill you to think of the glory? Perhaps it's like at the moment we just see those few rays of sunlight that appear behind the clouds on dark days, and it seems faint and light, but the day's coming when all the clouds will be gone and the light of the glory will shine in full strength. The heavens and the earth will be full of God's glory as the waters cover the seas. It's such a precious word, glory. In the scriptures, in the Hebrew, it comes from a word that means weighty. Something really substantial and valuable, real. The contrast is that the things of this passing present world are vanity. And again, that word vanity in the Hebrew, it means lightweight. It means a breath, a puff, a soon gone. But the glory to come is real, substantial, lasting. Now, hearing these words, a Christian in ancient Rome, no doubt he'd think about the glory of Rome. The Romans would parade their heroes through the streets in a triumph. The crowds would line the streets. They'd pass the columns of the temples and palaces, crowds singing their praises and throwing garlands at them, and a day might be named after them. It's all vanity. All vanity, and gone in a moment. The true glory will come to the Christian when in triumph they enter the gates of heaven and they meet with the crowds of the saints and angels, when they will dwell in the temple of God and meet with Jesus Christ. No need to be dismayed if you have little in your lot here below. You have glory above. And as 1 Peter puts it, you have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, kept in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. And it's the same thought here in Romans. It is kept secure. Christ has won it, and Christ keeps it. And it is a certain hope that you can look forward to. And if through this pandemic and likely depression that's coming, if earthly things that give you security are taken away, If your earthly security is weakened and stripped back, the things that give you confidence, believer, do not be discouraged. Your security is in Christ. Your future is safe in His hands. As the psalmist says, as we sang, in God is all my security. Believer, say it with faith, in Christ is all my security. Let go of the things of the world. Returning to Russell Moore and his story of adoption, he says in the book that one of the biggest surprises in the whole process when they adopted is when they first took the boys away from the orphanage. In the back seat of the car, as they drove away, the boys wept. They panicked. They tried to wind down the windows and reach out and get out and go back to the orphanage. That in that orphanage, they'd been uncared for, unloved, days without being washed. But it was the only life they'd ever known. As foul as it was, it had been the only security that they had. And while Moore was telling them about a loving family waiting for them, a beautiful home, good food, soft beds, and play, and loving parents, they couldn't imagine it. Got no reference. Now, the gospel can seem a little unsettling like that, when it tells you to let go of the things of this world, to not be afraid, to say goodbye to them. But it tells us that this world is the orphanage. This world is the orphanage. It's not home, and it's a place where it's full of difficulty and we're not really cared for, but Christ is taking us home to our Father who loves us. And we cannot begin to imagine the glory that awaits us there. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared. But like those boys, we often pine for the security that worldly things give us, especially when God takes them away. But He's telling us this is our security, who we are in Christ, and where we are going, a glory that will never fade and never be taken away. So in faith, in Christ is all my security. Don't be haunted by your past, Christian. All is forgiven and your relationship with God is secure. Don't be discouraged by your present suffering. God has a purpose. And don't be afraid for the future, because the future is glory. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, how can we thank You for this salvation You have given to us, a salvation of grace, freely made for us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it is not only that You have saved us from our pasts, but You give us a salvation that is secure, that even in all our weaknesses, sins and failures, and in all the troubles of this world, we thank You that it is a gift of salvation that is so secure in Christ. And so we pray, Lord, for one another. And pray, O Lord, that You would help us to know and enjoy this security we have in Christ. If any, Lord, are struggling with doubts and fears, oh, please fill us with fresh confidence. If any are being tempted to despair by the evil one, then, Lord, please lift them up by looking to Christ. And if any, Lord, are outside of Christ, you don't know this salvation in the heart, then, Lord, we humbly ask that You would reveal it to them today, even, Lord, through what we have heard together. And we give all the glory to You, our Saviour God, that from beginning to end, past, present, future, this salvation is Yours, and the glory and the praise are Yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.